pick up the authorized version of Holy Scriptures in front of you in the pew and turn with me to the third gospel, Matthew, Mark, the Gospel of Luke, at chapter 11, the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and in verse 21 he says, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor in which wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." Ending our lesson at verse 26, and God will stamp it from his infallible book with his infallible seal of blessing. 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 21 to 26. I have called this sermon, "When the Devil Takes a Holiday from His Home in Your Heart." When the devil takes a holiday from the home in your heart. This portion of Scripture gives us four portraits of our heart. Portrait number one shows us our heart, which we have been born with, and which we partake of from Adam's guilt and our own transgression. Secondly, it shows us a reformed heart, from which the devil has departed, and which some spring cleaning has taken place. And it has been swept, and it has been not only swept, but garnished. But then we have a third view of the heart. When the devil returns from his holiday and he repossesses the heart, and the last state is worse than the first. But then over against that, we have the revelation of a heart conquered by the power of God, a heart redeemed, a heart regenerated, when the stronger than the devil falls upon the devil and taketh from him all his armor and overcomes him and divideth his spoil. So we have four portraits of our heart. There are those in this meeting And perhaps the first portrait is applicable to them peculiarly. There are those in this meeting, and they perhaps have partaken of a reformed heart. There are those in this meeting who no doubt have been reoccupied in a heart given over to satanic ways and the ways of this sinful world. And then there are those here whom Christ possesses, and they enjoy the victory that comes through him. There may be those here, and they are partaken of all the three portraits. Alas for them, because they're in darkness and the shadow of death. But there is light for them in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I couldn't have called my sermon by a more appropriate name than I have named it. The devil takes a holiday from the home and man's heart. And what happens when that happens? Let's look at the first portrait. And in the first portrait, we have a heart that we receive through natural birth. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are at peace. That strong man, of course, is the devil. Your heart by birth is not the palace of God. It is the palace of Satan. In fact, it is the throne room of the devil himself. Note the word palace, Satan's home. That is where he rules, not in glory, but in shame. The devil is the foe of God. The devil is proud. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He is a murderer from the beginning. He makes the hearts of us all desperately wicked. Who can measure them or know them? The prophet asks. Here the devil is described as the strong man. He's strong in his lies. He's strong in his falsehoods. He's strong in his deception. He's strong in his subtlety. He's strong in his scheming. And he's strong in his cunning. The strong man armed, keeping his palace. Satan outwitted the wisest man who ever lived on earth, King Solomon. Satan outwitted the strongest man who ever lived on earth, Samson. But thank God for the almightiness of Christ, which has intervened to save us from the devil. Satan is armed. The poet said, Satan feeds with airy dreams, or kills with slavish fear, and holds us still in wide extremes, presumption or despair. How he persuades, how easy 'tis to walk the road to heaven. Anon he swells our sins and cries, they cannot be forgiven. Thus he supports his cruel throne by mischief and deceit, and drags the sons of Adam down to darkness and the pit. Satan is well armed at every point, and he arms his blinded followers, and it's not the puny punches of timid preachers will ever prevail against those that are armed by Satan. But thank God Christ has prevailed against him. And the rider of the pale horse that we read about in the book of Revelation is vanquished by Christ alone. Prejudice, ignorance, I got it right, are Satan's chain armor. He creates a seared conscience in the hearts of men and women. He builds a breastplate of hard-heartedness among all his followers. He is watchful. It says here he guardeth his possessions so that he can keep everyone under his jurisdiction and power. He is a great custodian of lost souls. He tries to keep them ever in his grasp. The devil, a mighty tyrant, sits upon his flinty throne, and all that's good is crushed to death beneath his heart of stone. He sells his victim false peace. Please notice those words, his goods are in peace. The devil is a great counterfeiter. He tells them that he will give them peace and he gives them war. And he'll give them joy and he gives them misery. And he will give them happiness and he gives them torment. We need to cry out against the devil and all his works. We need to say, away, ye false fiend of hell, in Jesus' name. Away from my soul. I know what you are up to, Satan, the destruction, not the salvation of my soul. May the Lord help us to cast out the devil. May the Lord help us to smash the battlework of our great enemy. Let the tides of the Red Sea turn, and let this Pharaoh from hell be overwhelmed under their mighty wash. Oh God, confound those who would confound thy church, we need to pray. Smash those who would smash us. Ride, O Lord, victoriously amongst thy people and thy children. Oh, visit us. O Lord God, visit us. O blessed Son of God, visit us. O mighty Holy Spirit, visit us. Break down the battlements of Satan. Smash his palace. Set the prisoners free. Yes, there is a heart, and it's a description of it that we first have portrayed in this portion of Scripture. But notice there's a change comes. The devil takes a holiday. He leaves the heart that he has corrupted. He leaves the heart that he has mastered. He leaves the heart that he has sought to destroy. Sometimes Satan leaves that home. He must have his own purpose for so doing. The purpose is not spoken of in this word from Christ's lips. When the devil takes his holiday, we would go and visit that house that he has left. At the door we would cry out and say, is anyone still at home? No answer. We would go through every room, but the house is empty. There is no devil here now, but there is no Savior here. There is no loving Father here. There is no tender Holy Spirit here. Self-righteousness is still in control of the man's soul. He still holds his heart subdued before the supreme landlord, which is still the old devil. The house, we read, is swept. Of course, it's only the major filth that has been removed. This is reformation. It is not regeneration. And how many people partake of reformation and they think they have regeneration, but they haven't. They have a counterfeit conversion. The outward style is changed, but the inward heart remains unchanged. Coarse and outward sins and acts have been forsaken, such as vile swearing, vile lying, vile cheating, vile drunkenness, vile uncleanness, and the multiplying of litters of other evil things. The satanic spring cleaning has taken place, but not the Savior's blood cleansing. And there is a difference between a heart corrupt, forsaken of the devil, and a heart corrupted that has been cleansed in the blood of Christ. There is a distinct difference between the two. Oh, listen tonight, my dear sinner friend, unconverted and unsaved in this meeting. Listen, Christ says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. The blood of Jesus Christ alone cleanses from sin. Not the sweeping of the devil or the garnishing of hell. The house is garnished. Here we find a temperance card. Here we find a communion token. Here we find an unthumbed Bible and a non-used hymn book. Here we have the self-authenticated certificate. I thank God I am not like other men. The certificate of self-righteousness. That garnishing will bear no influence on the great judgment day. It will be burnt as wood and as hay and as stubble. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. The Lord Jesus says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So much for the portrait of a reformed heart. But what about the portrait of your heart after the devil returns from his holiday? The devil could find no rest for himself, so he returns again. There is no opposition to his reoccupation. The door is open. The house is empty. It's newly swept. It is garnished. It awaits him. The house was empty indeed. If Christ had been in occupation, the devil couldn't have gained an entrance. The devil checks the doorpost. There's no blood there. The house is garnished, but is ungoverned. It was Mr. Spurgeon in a great sermon that he preached on this passage of Scripture lamented. And he said, oh, the garnished people I have met in my life, garnished with almsgiving, at other times with long-winded prayers, garnished with the profession of zeal and the pretense of reverence. You will find a zealous Protestant. Oh, he is so zealous. He would go into fits at the sign of a cross, and yet he will commit adultery and fornication and cover it. Do you think that such a case is impossible? I know, said the great preacher, many cases like that. You find people shocked because one person boiled a tea kettle on Sunday, or injured or insured their life, or assisted in a bazaar, who cheat and draw the eye teeth out of an orphan child if they could get sixpence for it. They are swept and garnished, but they're reprobates and they're lost. Walk in, ladies and gentlemen. Did you ever see a house so delightfully furnished as this? It is elegant. It's tasteful. Just so. But men and women can be damned tastefully and go to hell respectably, just as well as they came in a vulgar debauched. What is the end of the devil's return? He goes and finds his associated devils, those actually more wicked than he himself publicly declares himself. The off-scouring of hell's pit, and they invade that empty house. Hell has no lack of workers. They work in the fiercest concert to damn the sinner's soul. These minions, these foul-mouthed blasphemers, these mincing hypocrites, gilded reprobates, uniting in the most evil of practices, to damn a poor, lost, ruined, sinful soul. The last statement of their victims is worse than the first. There was an old preacher in the Victorian era called Alexander Pitt, and he said once in his preaching, all reforms are upset now. A profession of religion with all the bonds of resolution with which they had bound themselves, are now bust and sunder and forever laid aside. The reins laid on the neck of their lusts and self-will, wild as a war horse, drives the devils into tenfold fury, and the man rushes now in full momentum to the hell that he rightly deserves. Oh, would to God the history sketched by our Lord was just mere fiction, but it is not. It is reality. It is truth. The whole Jewish nation, in whom there rang the words of Christ with prophetic warning, they shut their eyes, they put their fingers to their ears, and they rushed on. Reform, but not regenerate. Swept, but not washed. Like the dog, they return to their vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. But let us turn from those three horrible pictures, and let's look at the last one. The portrait of Christ's possession of your regenerated heart. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. There is glory to God, a greater than the strong man. The stronger than the strong man is he. It is none other than Christ Almighty. There is no parallel whatsoever between the power of Satan and the power of Christ. The devil is only a finite creature. Christ is the infinite creator Oh, blessed day when the Lord came upon the devil in my heart and broke his power and set me free and smashed his chains. And there came a light in the valley of death for me, and I rose to walk with Christ. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. O sovereign grace, my heart subdued, I would be led in triumph to drive the old devil from his seat with all his hellish crew. Like Samson, Christ rent the lion in the vineyard. O God, smash the dragon within us all. Scotch the old serpent. Hew the beast to pieces. Break the devil's head and give to us all the victory of the precious blood of Christ. He overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There is victory for me. There is victory for you. In the blood of Christ, my Savior, there is victory. Make sure you leave the chains of darkness and the deception of the devil, and make sure you're found at the feet of Christ, calling upon his name. And remember, this is an unbreakable, unchangeable, immutable promise. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him now.